Well, with that kind of an introduction, you know, you kind of know what you're getting in for. So, realistically, this is going to be about a 20, 25-minute rant or so, because I understand that I am standing between you and beer. And it's been a long day. You all look pretty tired. So, you know, the intention for this particular talk is to kind of walk you through some information security pieces, some funny stories, and then also to have your own stories come up as well. So don't feel afraid to be able to, you know, kind of walk towards the mic and have something to bring up. Because, you know, it might. So, from time to time, you and your open source project are going to run across information security incidents. Your project is just going to expand, and, you know, it always seems like a great idea to be able to wake up this instance of something with a database and not write down the credentials or change them or leave them as a default. You've done this, yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah, quiet nodding, quiet, sad nodding, shame. But this happens. Like, this happens all the time. You're like, I just need this. Please just make this happen. I need to try all this. I need just a proof of concept. I need this to happen, like, yesterday. So, if you're involved in any project for any point of time, you're probably going to have some war stories about this. And it turns out the Lord of the Rings is a great model for being able to deal with your information security incidents. Fair? Well, we'll find out as I mark with my slides. So, I always do this for all of my talks when I remember, and basically, this is, you must be this tall to ride. I am really, really sorry. There is no code. There is gonna be nothing of, like, you know, screens going sideways. You probably will be able to participate in all of this. And realistically, you don't even have to know the Lord of the Rings that well. I'm not going to talk about, like, Tom Bombadil or, like, the Ents or anything like that, but you will. That's fine. You can come tell me where all of those guys fit. And I'm not going to talk about three-letter agencies or, frankly, anything really of substance, because it's the end of the day. It's going to be a blast. So this is also your point that if this is not something that you are interested, I am delighted. Like, please vote with your feet. Again, I understand that I am standing between you and beer. So for me, this came from a point where, how do you know when you have something really unfortunate on your hands? For me, this started when I was at a hosting company working as the kind of glue between sales and support, and we'd built out this entire team called customer advocacy. And this hosting company had a lot of different interesting clients all over the world. Now, how many of you were in the industry when Heartbleed came out? Yeah. So, do you remember that one day where you'd kind of seen Twitter blow up? Just, yeah, kind of like, oh, God, there's a thing, huh? That's interesting. And you just see this kind of cascade with everyone going like, oh, God, that's interesting, huh? I know now that the feeling of, oh, that's interesting, is a really bad feeling. You want to either get to the point where this feeling has resolved itself very, very quickly and you can go on in full-on panic, or just like, oh yeah, we're not affected. Nothing about this actually affects us. Great. The problem was, at the time, we had seen this coming through all day. I was basically working all the time zones, and I had seen it come through, like, East Coast time and, like, West Coast time. I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's interesting, look at that. And then one of our Australian people came on at, like, the very end of the day and was like, oh, this is a problem. Like, he saw that interesting feeling and actually dove into what it meant for us. And he very quickly realized that, in fact, not all was well in the Shire. So the things that came through chat at this point were basically like lighting the beacons of Amandine. Like people were just like, Hi, we have a thing. A lot of people ended up getting paged. A lot of people ended up getting woken up out of their various spaces. And how many of you have gone through something like this, yeah? Mm-hmm. The beacons of Amandine get lit. And the actual fix of Heartbleed, I was in the process of leaving that company. It was like my last 3 weeks there. So I do not actually remember how long the process took of full-on remediation, but it was long, and I'm pretty sure there are still people out there that are still, in fact, dealing with Heartbleed. And I'm so sorry if okay, there's no active weeping that just happened, so, you know, you won't admit to it. Okay. You can find me later. That's fine. So I tell you this story and the way to be able to start this, and there's some really great music coming from next door, and it's totally not me, but yes, exactly, like, you know, some drum beats about things that may be coming towards you. And my focus around this is that, as the introduction said, I'm Gloucester Community Lead, and so my point in where I'm working now is it's my job to be able to make sure that the garden that we're working in is safe. It's my job to make sure that the project infrastructure is, in fact, going to hold up longer term. And if it doesn't, then it's also my problem to be able to work to tend to that garden. It is likely that this responsibility is also yours in terms of whatever project that you're working on. This goes towards your company. This goes towards your open source work. Frankly, honestly, this probably goes towards your email as well. So, the forging of the ring, as we get back into the real story and, you know, less of the color. So you've brought up a server or a service, or any time that you actually have the capacity to link things, you all do it. We all do this. We put things that we shouldn't in places because it's faster. And Noah's talk, I think, was pretty indicative of all of the ways that you can do this. So I won't go into any of that. Just imagine that you've done something and you haven't written it down, or you've put in phpMyAdmin and not actually changed the defaults or anything, or you've, you know, published your private key to GitHub. Something has happened. If you do this and you forget about it, well, there's something here for you. You are actually becoming a character in this story. And I'm going to describe it all with Legos of the Lord of the Rings. So, if you do this, you become Gollum. Now, the thing is that, like, you don't actually do this on purpose. So no one in this story, as far as I can tell, and you can correct me on this, is Sauron, because no one actually does this on purpose. The other tricky part about Gollum can also be that, you know, at the very end, he has this previously unforeseen purpose that turns out to be very, very critical. So, you know, think about who this could have been and some of the things that have happened to you. Other things I have learned. Yes. Someone has actually gone to the trouble of being able to put elvish writing on a donut. So the next time this happens, I'm actually going to do this for the entire team. Right? Because you both want, like, a reward and also, like, a comment about, like, yes, I understand that we just went through this thing. Here is your reward. I am not going to send it to the person that caused it, because that is shame-driven development. And what I also learned is that you can order these on Etsy. So this is my discovery for today, and I had to share. Now you have something that you can take away, because if nothing else, you now know that there is the ability to order cake stencils of the Lord of the Rings writing to put on a cake. Yes. So, other pieces about this. I'm not actually entirely certain that Bilbo exists in these particular incidents. If you write it and you put it down somewhere and you forget about it, maybe that makes you Bilbo. Maybe Bilbo is a wiki. That thing that you start when you first get into a job and you start writing down, here's everything that I think that I can see that is wrong, that might be part of it in here. So you can tell me. You can tell me if I'm wrong on this one. Frodo is the poor, hapless guy that comes by and reads the logs and then gets to work through this. The person, sometimes you are Frodo, sometimes your sysadmin is Frodo, sometimes someone else nearby. Frodo's job is to be able to get all of this cleaned up so that this doesn't continue to be a problem. Have you been Frodo previously? Yes, sad nods. Excellent. Great, you can tell me about it. Gandalf, the senior staffer who leans over and looks at the logs and goes, God, you do, in fact, have a problem here. Wow. That's Gandalf. And Gandalf doesn't actually hang around that long. You know, like the senior manager that comes by and is like, oh, God, well, look at that. Have fun. Gandalf. Mm-hmm. Now, if you actually find Gandalf at work, you can now send them a hat. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so many random things that happen from Etsy from this talk. It's going to be great. You can also have multiple Gandalfs as well, if you have multiple teams coming in and out and multiple people looking at this. The Hobbits. And I'm not going to break out, like, you know, who's Pippin and all of that. You can figure it out amongst yourselves and the team. But these are the rest of the people who are trying to get this done along with you. Sometimes you just might be one of the Hobbits and somebody else gets to be Frodo. If you're lucky, you get to trade out. Strider, the Ranger. If you're really, really good, you'll have InfoSec to come by and help you out. Yep, the Strider comes by and leads you through the wilderness of discovery. So, the actual moment of discovery is the journey to Rivendell, where you work through everything that you think might have happened because of an intrusion or something dumb that happened, and being able to figure out exactly what it is that's after you. I'm not entirely certain who the Nazgul are within this particular context. I feel like one of you can tell me. So, you know,
CFO.
At this point...
CFO.
Yeah, actually, the CFO could definitely be that. Maybe, like, I mean, is the entire C-level team Nazgul? Maybe. Are your customers Nazgul? Dunno. Exactly. Feel free to heckle like that. That's exactly appropriate. So, you've gone through all of that. The real pieces around this are being able to figure out, once you have discovered that you will, in fact, have something on your hands. Communicating with the team around you, communicating with all of your management structure, communicating with information security, being able to bring in legal, bring in public relations, all of these people want to know very directly when something has happened. You will find out after the fact who really wanted to know, and you can put this in your documentation for next time. But having a structure and having a plan around this and being able to say, okay, yes, tongue-in-cheek, the Lord of the Rings, but we start with these different roles and we put these pieces together. The team around you, Gandalf, all of those guys. More about legal later. So when I've been responsible for this in the past, I break it down by both the communication that we're doing, our day-to-day communication, the week-to-week communication, and where that goes from here, because sometimes you have absolutely no idea how long these things are going to take. It can be something simple like, oh, yeah, we just changed the password on that server, and it's fine. Or, gosh, like, really? The root password? Twice? All right. And you change that. But it can also be something deeper about being able to change out an entire critical component of your infrastructure, and if that's the case, you'll want to be able to make sure that you know in your documentation, what's going on where, when this happened, who's responsible, and what the action items are. So if you had poor meeting hygiene before, you're going to want to look to that in order to be able to actually get through this. Other things that we've done before in the past have been secure unlisted IRC channels for the key parties, and only one person has the password to be able to get into that. They're the gatekeeper for being able to manage that communication. Again, this has worked for me. It may not for you. Other pieces I've also done around this have been daily calls to confirm what the current status is and the next step. So depending on where your time zones fall, depending on who you're working with, and depending on how serious it is, you may want to change this. Your mileage may vary, but I figured I'd actually be helpful at the same time as I was telling you a fun story. When I do this, I look at what our week-to-week coordination looks like. What can we ostensibly get done by the end of this week? What can we do towards next week, and what does success look like? If we can't establish that, then we need to slow down as far as where we're going and what our remediation and discovery looks like. Again, your mileage may vary, but... this part is pretty simple as far as the actual remediation, but, again, I'm making this more general to be able to have it be applicable for everybody. The general instinct is to be able to make the checklist and follow that checklist. I tend to do this on a week-to-week basis, not a day-to-day basis, and trying to do this on a month-to-month timeline gets really complicated in a hurry. And if you do that, you'll probably need more spreadsheets or a project management tool for it. But that's another talk for another time. So now that I've bored you with the actual, you know, appropriate parts in here, the Council of Elrond is where this really gets good. You've gone through all of your discovery. You know exactly what it is that you should be doing. And you're now at the point where everybody can come into a room and figure out what happens where. Typically, you're going to need legal. With any kind of open source project and you've had something interesting, if you're lucky enough to be able to have legal, you will need them. Sometimes you need to be able to make sure that everyone is around for all of this, and this can be the elves, the people that are kind of helpful and kind of not, because they're pulled in too many directions to be able to actually solve things, and the dwarves, who are the people in the meeting who want to get things done as fast as possible. Try not to be able to tell them that they're elves and dwarves. They don't really like this, but you can think about it on your own. So then what happens? You've got a plan, you know what done looks like, you know how to get from here to there, and you think you know exactly what's going on. But then the problem that happens with these is, like, some things that should have been remembered were not. And you end up in the mines of Moria. And that's when you find out that something in here is actually a much bigger problem. Either way, this all got a lot more urgent because you didn't do a proper discovery, and you ended up in the mines of Moria. So, I said that I was going to tell you a note on legal. Sometimes legal will come down on the side of Galadriel. We want to help you. We want to make sure that this actually gets out into the wild. We want to be able to move all of your party along. But sometimes legal will come down as Boromir. And you will end up as a dead hobbit, and no one will ever know about the ring. I think I've just killed all of you now. So there's really not much to do about Boromir at this point. Like, you could go back and have another Council of Elrond. The time has passed. What will absolutely certainly happen next is that half of your team will get pulled off to work on another bug. They've been captured by the orcs. You have lost them, and you're like, well, all right, great. Still got to solve this problem here, but, like, awesome. Thanks, product team, for doing that thing. So your Eye of Mordor is the press, I think. And you can correct me. But you really, really do not want the press to find out before you destroy the Eye. You want to be able to publicly disclose this in a way that's going to be like, and everything is fine now. A leak on this stuff is going to be really challenging because you then have to be able to move even faster. And I think there are other people in the room that can speak towards what happened when the Eye of Sauron comes upon you. So I will not do that. So at the end of this, you want to be able to take the lessons around things that we shouldn't have done and bring that back in. So imagine that the project that you're in is in fact the Shire. And even after you've destroyed the ring and you've tossed it into, like, the fires of Mount Doom, all of that, and that's probably another talk, but bringing those lessons back into the work that you're actually doing in your own project about being able to establish better policies, better process, better secrets management. Something needs to come out of this in order to be able to have this be an effective learning experience and not necessarily just like, oh yeah, that one time. Yeah, do you remember that one time? That war story. Uh-huh. It's on you as part of being able to work within a team to find out what these lessons are and come back and implement them. How many of this is, like, this has actually happened to you, yeah? Okay, quiet nods. How often have you been able to take something that was dreadfully wrong and bring this back into the project? Okay, I see some nodding, but not enough. And every time that I give this talk, I hope to see more. So, well, all right, we can work with that. So this is the part where I look for what stories come up for you. And you can come to the mic, or I can repeat it for the recording as needed, or you can just think about it quietly. It can be like church. We can take a moment of silence for all of the problems that have happened previously. What did they get wrong? Is there something in here that doesn't match for you? Nothing? Okay.
You're missing the army of Gondor going the wrong way.
Yes. Actually,
The comment was you're missing the army of Gondor going the wrong way.
The army of Gondor.
Yep. The army of Gondor going the wrong way.
See, and that's where this gets more challenging, because not only are there multiple threads to be able to pull on, but there's also multiple ways to be able to interpret it. I took the first part because it's easiest to be able to give you a good model to work off of, but you can also make it more complicated depending on how your team wants to be able to work with this. Other pieces? Yes.
I feel that there's a piece missing, but I don't know how it fits into the movie.
Okay, go ahead.
What if the project has never had a fire drill before, so there is no place to meet up to communicate, or what in the heck went down here, or even worse, your place where you had intended to have said communication, oh, say a mailing list, was part of the explosion.
So, I think to summarize at that point, like, you then get to find out who actually matters in your project and who you need to be working with on a day-to-day basis, frankly. Like, that's when you find out, like, oh, we need him, and we need him, and we need him, and let's do a that. And this can be, like, you know, in the past, it's been IRC channels. I feel like people are now moving towards Slack for things like that, which I'm not sure how I feel about, given the whole, like, it's not open and it's not free and we can't tell what's going to be saved in there. But it's easily available for people to be able to use. I think you focus less on the tool at that point and more about being able to establish something reasonably secure in a place where everybody can get to it. Your mileage may vary. I find it challenging to believe that there are projects that have never had a kind of fire drill like that. No?
Well,
am I being too...
Not that they've never had a fire, but they've never had a fire drill prior to the fire.
Oh, yes, your house is burning down. Excellent. Okay, that really is the point where you find out exactly who is going to be critical within the project and be able to work with that fairly directly. If that circle of trust needs to expand out, you'll know fairly quickly because things are just not getting done. Like, oh, we're stalled on that because, like, you know, Manuel over in, like, the corner over there is not responding to email, but there's something else that needs to happen in there. So, yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. Cool. Other pieces around real advice. Yes, Chris.
So I feel like something that's not captured in The Lord of the Rings at all is budgetary restrictions. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, how different would the Battle of Helm's Deep have been if the Fellowship had an EDU budget?
Right? Yes, a training budget. You should have one. Yes, out there in the audience, there was a story. No? Clearly didn't read the books. All right, fair enough. No, a training budget actually is something that I haven't built into this at all. Other pieces. All right, so my actual real advice on this one was, you know, communicating with the team actively, regularly, making sure that you do have a cadence so that everyone knows what to expect. When you're in a fire drill, being able to know what consistency looks like is actually more important. Do make sure that you're actually keeping good notes and good timelines of events so you know what's going on where. If you are so inclined, you can in fact run a good root cause analysis, and that is a story for another talk. And really? That's it. I wish you way more than luck. Thank you all.